Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to the 8th ever episode of the Little Yellow Bird podcast. Now, with me today is no one because Dan is in London pretending to be a writer. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to Skype him right now, which is how we do the interview, or how we talk to each other, sorry. And I'm going to leave whatever he says in. basically. Okay, I'm pressing the buttons now. Press. There, we can hear that. Wibbly wobbly. Wibbly wobbly, it is ringing him. I'm going to leave everything. Here we go. Do. I bet he swears.
Yeah.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah. I need a wee.
What?
I need a wee.
I can't. Sorry, I broke up. Say one more time, mate.
I need a wee.
Okay.
I'll give you a call back in a minute.
That's fantastic. There we go. That is the real Dan Brigham, everyone. I'm going to pause the recording and wait for him to ring back. That went even better than I ever imagined it could. Oh, I need the wee-wee. That's the sort of idiot I'm bloody dealing with here. Never mind. We've got loads to look forward to, so I'll connect when he rings back. Bye. Hello, we're now back with Dan. I'm waiting for you to say Brigham.
Brigham, sorry.
Hello, Dan.
Yeah.
How was your wee-wee?
It was quite a long wee, actually. It was like one of those where you think it stopped and then it keeps on coming back. But that might be just a sign of aging, I suppose.
True. Mm. Talking of aging.
But thank you for that, though, John.
You're welcome. It was brilliant podcasting.
Top quality podcast, you know.
Yeah, it's what
saying I need a wee-wee.
It's what the kids want.
I'm not sure about that.
That's true. I don't know why I said that. Well, no, I'm just going to turn you up because it's all professional and everything.
All right.
So, there we go. Just say hello for me.
Hello.
You're a twat. Here we go. Let's talk about Home and Away. Norwich City Games, a Carrow Road, and somewhere that's not Norwich. Home and away, we'll have a say. So, home. What on earth happened at home, Dan? Not your home. That would be awful. Let's talk about Norwich versus Leicester at Carrow Road. What on earth happened?
We lost 2-1.
Oh, no. Did we?
Yeah.
Who scored the goals?
Well, there were two Leicester players who scored.
Yeah.
And there's one Norwich player.
See, a lot of people talk about us not being very good, but when you've got punditry like that...
Oh, I know, yeah.
What more
do you
need?
Where it went wrong is they scored more than us. In fact, they scored double the amount of goals than we did.
And that always means 3 points, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And that means 0 points for us.
That's football for you.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to sum up the game for you for the first time. You normally take over and sound really intelligent and I look a right dick at the end when I go, yeah, I agree.
All right, let's just see how this one goes.
I thought that Norwich City's play was lacklustre and very sticky.
Sticky.
I don't know why I keep using that word, but that's the only word I can kind of...
I know why you keep using that word.
Well, that's all I look at. And I just wanted to not to get the ball. It's like it's always stuck under someone's foot. Johnny Howson couldn't get going. He was awful for the first time in ages because you wrote a piece about him. Stephen Whitaker couldn't pass the ball and Wes wasn't doing what he could normally do. It just felt all a bit...
Well, Wes had to keep dropping deeper, didn't he?
Yeah, it was just a bit shallow. I think the football wasn't slick and penetrating enough.
Well, do you know what I think? Because we're, and
of course I don't.
I wrote about this actually. Because when the sort of the slick football is looking all fluid and sexy,
yeah.
Well, that's not two good words to put together.
Sexy when, fluid.
When it's looking really good, it looks like the easiest. What?
I just thought sexy fluid could be the name of the podcast because of the wee wee.
I'm sure there's already a hair rock band called Sexy Fluid.
I'll put it down.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, when it looks good, it looks really easy, doesn't it? People picking passes together, but it's one of the toughest things for a football team to get, you know, to perfect is very quick, penetrative passing. And when one cog in that midfield is off his game, all of them suddenly look off their game because it needs all of them operating at full level. And sometimes it's just going to happen to us. It will happen to top teams. You know, sometimes Arsenal can't ping it about.
Yeah.
So that will happen occasionally.
I felt that no matter... I think if we'd have carried on for another 200 minutes, I think we would have scored.
You don't think we would
have
scored?
No, we had a couple of chances in the last 20 minutes, but nothing clicked. The whole thing, every now and then, wow. Actually, there was one bit of really beautiful football at the very beginning, the first half, when Cameron was one-on-one with the goalkeeper and he put it over the top. It's sort of a snap decision. Don't laugh. And it
was... I just like how you call him by his first name.
Yeah, Cameron. Cameron. Jerome. Because I say Jerome Norfolk. Jerome.
Jerome, yeah. Well, you say Cameron as well.
Cameron, yeah. Jerome. And I thought...
CJ.
Yeah, it could be. Optional. And there we go. That was it.
Yeah, Redmond made a difference. I was a little bit... This is the first time this season I thought Alex Neil probably got the lineup a little bit wrong as well. I was a bit surprised not to see Redmond starting and Brady pushed up as well because Leicester fullbacks are so poor. I just thought that he'd have Redmond running at them and Brady attacking them and also coming inside and overrunning their sort of four-man midfield. But, I mean, I don't know. That may not have worked either. It may well just been a case that the midfield just wasn't sort of functioning for once. But I just, from the start, or no, before, you know, when it was announced, the lineup, I thought it was a slightly odd choice to set up like that against a team who don't pack the midfield and who have poor fullbacks.
Yeah, it was Matt Jarvis's worst game by far. He was just invisible nearly, came off.
I do think he's been a little bit overhyped. I thought he was poor against Liverpool. I thought it wasn't great against West Brom. I think he doesn't get his head up when he gets the ball. And I think I've said this before on the podcast, he always tries to go to the byline rather than playing it quickly. And that's what the difference was when Brady was in that position against West Ham. He plays it quickly and he doesn't always head to the byline. He can come inside or he can put the ball sort of around the defence as well. Whereas Jarvis seems a bit of a one-trick pony so far. Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of pace and he gets into good positions and it's good fun to see wingers beating players. But I'd just like to see Brady in there, I think. And Jarvis is a good one to maybe bring on for a bit of extra pace.
It'd be a bit unfair that he just comes off after kind of quite a good little run. I mean, he scores goals even when he's not playing well so far. Anyway, so there we go. I think that's covered Leicester enough, don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Move on.
Move on, onwards and upwards. Now, I am very lucky to be part of a book that's coming out this week.
You are very lucky.
I'm very lucky. It's called Tales from the City. And there's loads. I think it's been on Twitter quite a bit and everyone knows about it. And there's going to be some cool people there, including Grant Holt.
He will be there. The guy who does the parody of you.
Yeah, what a fool he is.
It's about time you confronted him about that.
I'm going to ask him. My opening line is going to be, I'm not going to actually say what it is.
Not going to get anywhere near him, mate.
I know, he's going to go F off. I go, yep, all right, thank you, bye. I'm just going to sit in the corner with a Coke.
He's going to look at you like you've just noticed someone who's stalking you dressed exactly like you, walk, sit down next to you.
I've got a picture of your wife in my wallet. No one's going to want...
But you have, though, haven't you?
I know, yeah. No one's going to want to talk to me on this night. I've realised this. No one will want to talk to me. No one. It's like, oh, my God, is that bloke...
I'll be there. I'm going to ignore you.
Exactly. That's one that's not going to talk to.
Your girlfriend's going to be there.
Yeah, but she won't talk to me.
She won't talk to you either, will she?
No one wants to talk to me. So I had on the phone earlier on Mr. Simon Thomas, the Sky Sports presenter, who is also hosting the night, just to talk about it. And it's a really cool little chat. It's my first ever proper celebrity interview. And
cool.
That was good. I enjoyed it. It's nice.
I interviewed him 10 years ago. John.
Did you? Wow, full circle. We talk about the book, obviously, and we talk about a couple of other things, including his hero when he was growing up and also his makeup tips. So here we go. This is it. Hello, and with me right now, I have Simon Thomas, who has very kindly written a chapter and also is going to be hosting the Tales of the City event. And there's all sorts of different writers, like Mick Dennis has edited it, and we've got Ewan Roberts, we've got Brian Gumm, we've got Grant Holt, of course, we've got Paul McVeigh, Chris Gorham. And a really interesting for me, well, we've got Michael Wynne-Jones, who's wrote written a chapter. So, Simon, hello, are you there, my man?
Hello, mate, yeah. And you've written a chapter as well, lest we forget.
I have. It's somewhere at the back, just like, you know.
No. It's firmly in the middle, and it's excellent. Brilliant. I've read the book from start to finish, which is fairly helpful when you're hosting an event on Sunday, but yours is excellent, mate. So don't put yourself down.
Thank you very much. Very kind. You are one of the few people to read it, because I haven't had a chance to read it yet, and I'm really looking forward to it, because there's so many different viewpoints from the fan to the player of Norwich City, so it must be quite an interesting read.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's an idea of a mate of mine who works on Sky Sports News called Adam Leventhal, and he's a massive Watford fan, but we won't do him down because of that.
Poor thing.
And he had an idea called Tales from the Vicarage, and I think they've done at least two volumes, and they have even done more now. And it was an idea just of getting, you know, ex-players, current players if you can, ex-managers, fans, you know, lots of people with various different connections from the club, where it's been professionally or just as a fan or whatever it is, to just to bring together different stories. And I think he just felt this was a kind of idea that you could apply to endless clubs. Actually, I'm quite jealous of him for coming up with a fairly simple but really good idea. And he approached myself a while ago and said, do you think you'd be happy to do it for Norwich? And I said, look, I think it'd be great, and I think actually we'll produce a book that's even better than the Watford one.
Easy.
But I probably won't have time. I don't necessarily have the writing skills to edit it. So in the end, Mick Dennis was approached. And so he's sort of put it all together, as you will know. And it's a really good read. And I know it's obviously I'm biased because I'm a Norwich fan, and I've written a chapter and all that kind of thing. But it's just a whole rich tapestry of different things in there, from, you know, from a fan's perspective like yourself, to Michael Wynne-Jones, who writes a chapter, Chris Gorham from Radio Norfolk. So you've got a couple of broadcasters in there like myself. You've got ex-players like Ewan and Paul McVeigh. And I tell you, the really interesting one for me is Brian Gunn's chapter, because a lot of these guys have already written books. And what you tend to get from them is a different story, stuff that you've not necessarily heard before. And I won't give it away now, but Brian Gunn kind of gives us the warts and all tale of his time in charge of the club, and how he very nearly didn't end up managing Norwich after that fateful day at Charlton that sealed our delivery down into League One. It's a really interesting tale, and he kind of just wears his heart on his sleeve and tells you how difficult a period in his life it was. So there's some great stuff in there, and a lot of stuff that I think people won't necessarily have known about before. So it's a good read.
Brilliant. I'm honestly really looking forward to reading it. I mean, I'm big one for spoilers. I don't like people spoiling anything. But can you give us a brief summary of your chapter? I'm really brief.
Yeah.
Don't give anything away.
It was a funny one, because initially I was sitting thinking, what on earth can I write that people would be vaguely interested in, which is quite difficult. So it started off basically being how I became a Norwich fan, you know, growing up in Norfolk in the sort of 70s and 80s, when Liverpool and their pomp, being kind of one of a very few amount of Norwich fans in school. And while I was kind of sitting there going through all this, various stories came back to me that you don't forget about, but you need something like to sit down and you begin to remember stuff, like the day Dad brought home Justin Fashanu's signature, and, you know, little things like that, nuggets like that. So it kind of built from there, and the idea was it would then sort of move through the years into time on Blue Peter, when I got to do quite a lot of stuff at Carrow Road, which, you know, I never dreamt of doing when I was a kid growing up. And it kind of finished there. And then I spoke to Mick Dennis. It was the evening of the playoff final. And as we all were, absolutely euphoric. And I was in a pub in Soho with all the Sky Sports lot. And we were just quickly seeing how each other was. And I was going, wow, what a day. Mm-hmm. And he says, you've got to include that in the book. So I kind of had to rewrite a whole load again.
Excellent.
So it became quite a long process, but it's in one chapter sort of charts how I became a Norwich fan, grew up, how that's been through the media years, and ultimately finishing off with kind of my greatest test in terms of impartiality, and that was presenting a playoff final at Wembley with your own team in it, which I don't think I'll ever get to do again. And so it was a great way to finish the chapter. So I hate using this word because it's lots of people use it, but I'd say if I'm being frightfully posh, it was an organic process.
Lovely. That's a lovely word. Well, actually, to be honest, it sounds like your chapter is going to answer all the rest of the questions I was going to ask you.
So really?
I might not ask them now. I was going to ask you about your first Norwich game and who you pretended to be when you were younger and things like that. But it's not. Is any of those in the book?
Well, I pretended to be Justin Fashion in the end.
Did you?
Because one of the things I talk about, and as a sort of hinted at, was I mean, I was growing up at a period where Liverpool were just winning everything, and they were like kids who, I guess, who've grown up in the last 20 years. Manchester United has been that team in recent years in the Premier League. Well, in my area, it was Liverpool, and everyone in this place called Grimston, about 7 miles from King's Lynn, was in Liverpool kits. And I used to play football in the back garden, like, you know, lots of kids still do, or hopefully they still do. My mate Mark Howlett, who was very, very good at football, he always wanted to be Ian Rush or Kenny Dalglish. It was either one of those two. And I sometimes used to say, oh, all right, if you're not going to be Dalglish today, I'll be Ian Rush. Because it didn't really have a Norwich hero really kind of captured my imagination. You've got to remember, this is the period. Well, I say remember, you're way too young to remember this era. But back in that day, there was so little available in terms of, you know, TV coverage and all those kind of things. So you weren't bombarded with these images. But eventually, it's something I talk about in the book, it was Fashion who captured my imagination as a kind of, as a Norwich hero. And so from ever that day onwards, ever playing a game of football in the backyard with friends, I wanted to be Justin Fashion. It just sadly wasn't even about 0.5% as good as him. But that, he was the one I kind of grew up following and wanting to be like.
You don't look old enough. That's impossible.
Makeup, mate.
Yeah, should we talk beauty tips now? That might be a good twist on it.
Let's do that.
Foundation, what do you use? I'm joking. I'm joking. I have to answer that.
I can give you the number of the makeup girl at Sky, and she can run you through it all.
Okay.
I've been TV for nearly 20 years, and I still couldn't tell you any makeup brand. Okay. That's a slight lie, I could, but I just couldn't tell you which tone.
Exactly. Do you have to pay for these people to come in, or they just do it for free?
I think Sky pay for it, yeah. No, they didn't do it for free. Yeah. No.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, I'll let you go. I'm going to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
This is more of like a quiz question for you. Put you on the spot. There's the music for it. What is the eighth word to the chorus of On the Ball City?
The eighth word?
Yeah. Which means you have to sing it a little bit.
All right. Kick it off. Right.
That's the chorus. Sorry, the chorus.
Oh, the chorus.
The chorus.
What? Well, On the Ball City,
yeah.
Never mind the danger. Steady.
Whoa.
Is number eight.
It's not.
Is it not? What is it?
Go through it. On
the Ball City, never mind the day. Do you know what I did?
You did.
I used to do this as a kid, and I still do it as an adult.
Yep.
When you've got a word with two syllables,
yep.
Counted two like a
and
complete
that's the trick.
Numpty.
And you fell
and
for
that's
it.
The one.
Hooray.
You got me.
1-0.
You got me. This
is
brilliant.
I do it on the podcast. We do a thing called Dan versus John. It's a competition. This is the only ever John versus Simon, and it's 1-0 to me, and that's the end of the series. That's the end of the thing. Perfect.
I can never come back.
Exactly.
Ever remain one. Although I could get my own back on Sunday night.
It's been really, really lovely to have you on.
Pleasure, mate.
I'm just going to say, on Sunday 11th of October, it's at the Open in Norwich. Tickets still available. So come and meet us. Come and wave at us. Come and look at us. Come and point at us.
Come and heckle us.
Exactly. I'm going to have a sign on so people know who I am, because I don't have a makeup girl with me, unfortunately.
Should I bring one with me?
Please do.
All right.
Good man. Thank you very, very much.
Cheers, mate.
Bye. There we go. That was the interview I did with Simon Thomas.
That was great, wasn't he? He's a very nice man.
He's very nice, very nice man.
Oh. Are you slightly nervous about playing?
Are you joking me? I am absolutely crapping myself.
Yeah, I know you are, really.
I know you are. You did.
Yeah. You haven't played live for how long?
A while. A couple of months, maybe. This is the first
15
time in 15 years that I have ever done anything like this. And
wow.
I just know people...
Good, you've got a couple of songs you're playing, aren't you?
I'm done yes, I am playing two songs. But I just know that people will be staring at me like, what the F is this?
Well, you're playing at the interval and at the end, so people will be milling about then. They won't just be staring at you unless you do something horrendously bad, and then they'll turn around.
No, I'm doing the end of the interval, like, and it goes into the interval. I'm not like dicking around during the. Maybe I am.
Maybe
oh,
you are.
God. Yeah, mate, off you go. You're the halftime entertainment, but everyone's getting their drinks. There's me going, hey, Mr. Day, in the corner. Oh, God.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But it's going to be a fun night, and I hope lots of people go and hope lots of people enjoy it. You're going to be there, aren't you, Dan? You can say hello to people.
I'm going to be clapping you when you play and laughing at all your jokes.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the only way to be. So let's talk about Podcast Podbag.
Podcast Podbag.
Yeah. So we sent out a tweet saying, oh, you know that game, the old Leicester game? If it could be a film, what film would it be?
What bloody film will it be?
And here comes the top 10.
We got a good response, but we've got to break it down to top 10. Can I just say, by the way, can I do a little public service announcement?
If you have to.
Beforehand? Can the person who went for Scream as the film, I'm not going to name names, but can they just try a little bit harder? Because that film could literally apply to any scoreline or any result, even a 0-0, because you could be screaming with boredom. So just a little public service announcement to avoid using Scream, please. And now on to the top 10. Okay, number 10, it comes from Daniel, and he's at S34LEY. He's got it wrong. He hasn't really got the point here. This is another public service announcement. He's gone for Mark Clattenburg, My Story, it would be called. Which, you know, fair enough. Mark Clattenburg did sort of, as usual, take centre stage. But we want actual films, don't we, John?
We don't want to make things up. My film title would be Leicester versus Norwich.
Yeah, Leicester 2, Norwich 1.
The sequel.
There we go. But on to the good ones now. Sorry, Daniel, I'm sure you can try very hard next time. Number 9, David Mason, David Mason 1982. He goes for Titanic,
nice.
Which is Vardy playing the iceberg, Ranieri as DiCaprio, and Alex Neil's Kate Winslet, which is terrifying. Alex Neil on the end of a boat with Ranieri holding his waist. Lovely. Number 8, well, that's what he's gone for.
Keep going.
Yeah, number 8, Stukulele at Stukulele says The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, Green Mile, Casablanca. I haven't got the hang of this yet. that one just made me giggle, so I thought I'd put that one in.
Nice.
Number 7 is Richard at Twitchert, The Fantastic Mr. Foxes, which, not a huge imagination there.
Whoa, that's amazing.
But, well, it's quite an obvious one because they're called Fox.
Yeah, that's Fantastic Mr. Foxes. That's very good. That should be higher.
Well, yeah, you haven't heard the top 6, yeah?
That's true.
No, it probably should be high. Number 6 from Dan Hall, 1985, says Die Hard 5, because I looked forward to it for ages, then wished I hadn't watched it. I mean, do we really believe he was looking forward to Die Hard 5 for ages?
See, yes, Fantastic Mr. Fox is better than that. Carry on.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Number 5 from Scott at Argers says Vardy from the Madding Crowd. I mean, that doesn't really make any sense, but he's got a good Vardy pun in there, but Far From the Madding
Crowd. What's the film, sorry? Vardy?
Far From the Madding Crowd. The Thomas Hardy book. So he's got a little pun in, and we haven't had a pun up until now, well, apart from Fantastic Mr. Fox's. Tina at One Jot, who was our token female a couple of weeks ago.
She was.
Scotland.
Hi, Tina.
She goes for Falling Down, which is the Michael Douglas film where he snaps and goes mad. And she says that sort of ties in with The Penalty and Mood of Carrow Road.
Not yet. I was going to go, what? But that's quite good. Falling Down. Yeah. Nice. Good work.
It also reminds me of how we all felt under Chris Hughton as well. Number three is a regular on this top 10 list, actually. And he's excelling himself. It's John Punt at Puntino. This one has a message. He goes, need for speed in Norwich's defence, please.
Oh,
because we're lacking a bit of speed in the fence. So yeah, there's a message. There's a bit of analysis and a good, good punnage as well. Well done, John. Number two,
Fantastic Fox Bear.
Number two, Sean Wilkinson at Sean_Wilkinson. Good moaning Vardy's arm. I mean, that's good, isn't it?
Oh wow.
Good moaning Vardy's arm. That's good morning Vietnam, obviously.
Oh yeah.
That's very good. And number one,
good one. That was. That is better than Mr. Fox's. So
it is,
should be
it?
Third. Yeah. Unless this is utter shit and it's going to ruin it.
Number one, this is from Nick Ledger, who I should declare an interest, is a friend and designed our website. This is good. Nick Ledger at Nicky Swift, and this is very creative. He says, Django Unchanged, but stay with me, because Jamie the Fox shot up our nice place in the country. That's clever. That's clever.
He should design websites for a living.
He should, shouldn't he? Yeah, and give discounts to friends who need websites design.
Big up.
So, yeah, well done to my friend Nick Ledger and our website.
Oh,
builder.
Come on. This is a swizz. This is like fucking FIFA, this is. Oh, I've given the top one to my friend. Oh, it's accidentally. Bullshit. Fantastic,
but
Mr.
That's
Fox
good,
is.
Though, isn't it?
Fantastic.
That's a good one.
It is good, I will say. I would say Fantastic Mr. Fox is third, not sixth.
Okay, seventh I had actually. Apologies to Twitcher, who is one of my favourite Norwich City tweeters.
He's good, isn't he? I've met him really briefly on my first day of work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you gone?
No, I'm still here. Although you are sounding a little bit like what's her name? Cher on that song. Do you believe?
Okay, Fox being punched in the face. How old is he?
About 75. No, I don't know.
That's what I thought.
He's in his late. You make up a number. He's in his late whatever.
Teens.
Yeah, sure. If you want to say that, he's about 40-ish. Ish. Oh man, Dan's gone.
Okay.
No, not you there.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. Always try. Always interesting to try and guess people's ages. Anyway, that's podcast postbag, and it probably won't be back next week if you do this because there's not a Norwich game.
No, nope, exactly. There won't
be
anything
back
next
week.
Thank
you very much to everyone
who contributed. Hooray! Dun 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 dun. So let's do Dan versus John. Who cares? Okay, this is it. This is cool, this is. Yeah,
okay.
This is cool.
So what's the score?
8-0 to me. I don't know.
6-0.
It's 3-1 to me, isn't it?
Yes, I believe it is.
Okay. I picked up a programme from Saturday the 19th, which was the first game of the season, in 2000.
Right.
It was a programme.
Saturday the 19th.
It was in my mum's caravan. She's clearing it out and she had this and she went, do you want it? I went, yeah, I want it.
Yeah.
Now, I am looking at the squad right now.
Which year?
This is 2000.
Right.
You've
done a squad one before, I have to point out.
Yeah, but this is awesome because I've actually got a picture that I can look at. And it's loads of things. Actually, introduces. Try our new website where you can email each other. That's like things like that. Anyway, so I've got this in front of me, and I think it'd be quite fun if you could name 10 players in the whole squad. If you can name 10 players in the whole squad, I'll give you the point.
So, was it 2000, 2001?
Yeah, the manager was Brian Hamilton, the assistant manager was Nigel Worthington. And Steve Livermore.
Yeah. 10 players.
10 players.
What, like a 25 to 30 man squad, I guess?
Yep.
Wow.
You can do
it. Well, obviously, you and Roberts.
One.
Goalkeeper, would it have been? Yeah, Rob Green.
He is in the squad, but he wasn't number one.
Ooh. Andy Marshall.
Two. I'll give you two.
Three, mate. That's three.
Yes, it's goalkeeper, same thing.
So that's three.
Yeah.
So three.
Are you drinking again?
Yeah, thirsty work guessing these because I need to pull a 3-1 down.
You could be cheating right now.
I'm just trying to go. Who was up front for us? Fucking flipping heck. Do I not swear? Well, I've gone for Roberts.
Yep.
Oh, well, Alex Notman.
Oh, no.
No?
No.
No?
No, that's one. You've got. If you get three wrong, you lose it. Oh, by the way.
Okay. No, Alex Notman, you sure?
No, Alex Notman.
Okay.
Not man.
So who else was up front with you and Roberts then? Back then? No, I can't remember. Oh, well, Paul McVeigh.
Yep.
Yeah. So what's that, 4 now?
Yep. 6 more.
Malky Racist Mackay.
Yep.
5.
You can't call him that.
He is a fucking racist.
Can
I say that? I can say that, yeah. Bloody hell. Did I get goalkeeper rather than Rob Green? I did, didn't I?
Yep. Still 5.
It was just trying to think. It would have played with Mackay. Craig Fleming.
Yep, he's in there.
6
with hair. 6. 4 more to go.
Oh, I know. It must have been one of my favourites. One of my faves in midfield. The portly Fillmore Ryan.
Fillmore Ryan was there.
Was he?
3 more to go.
Shit. Dum-dum-dum-dum.
You'd never get captain. I know that.
I'll never get captain?
No. Nope. I think you've taken all the most famous people, but there are things you'll go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when you're saying.
I mean, 10, that's a lot of people to get. 10.
No, it's not. Out of 23.
Yeah, but how many of those 23 will anyone remember?
Loads, I promise you.
Okay. Right, okay. Currently at Norwich, Gary Holt.
Gary Holt is not one of them. Bam, bam. So you've got, if you make one more wrong decision, you have lost.
You're kidding me. How many have I got? 7?
You've got 7. You've got 3 to go. This is awesome now. It's tension. I'll do some tension music.
Well, when did Gary Holt join? He must have been there.
He's not. 100% not.
All right.
He was not in the team photograph.
Ooh. Club legend. Club legend.
Yep.
Ooh, I've only had one more.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must. Yeah, Adam Jury.
No, he wasn't.
What?
He wasn't there. You've lost, unfortunately. He wasn't.
Oh, man.
Nigel Worthington signed him, not Brian Hamilton. Are you ready to kick yourself?
Yeah.
Daryl Such.
Right, yeah.
Lee Marshall, Matt Jackson, Cedric Anselan.
Uh-huh.
Daryl Russell.
Should have got to Matt Jackson.
Paul Dalglish, Adrian Coote, Adrian Forbes, Darren Kenton, Chris Llewellyn. Steen Neergaard.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Brian McGovern and Danny Gay.
Well, of course. I mean, so, okay.
Kenton?
Okay. Right, I'm now going to use the power of Google.
Craig Bellamy?
And look for Adam Drury and see when. He was there. When did he join?
That was a good one, wasn't it?
Drury joined Norwich from Peterborough in March 2001.
See?
No, so he was there that season,
No, he wasn't the following season.
Not at the start. March 2001. No, he joined at the end of 2001 season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Oh, well.
That was good, though, wasn't it?
That was quite good.
You
that
failed.
Was challenging, I'd say.
Yeah, it was doable, but challenging. Just like
well done
me.
For me for getting both goalkeepers, by the way.
That's very good. There was only 2 goalkeepers as well.
3.
You don't count Danny Gay. He was a 3rd goalkeeper. So there we go. That was cool. And I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, well done. Still 3-1 up.
Still 3-1 up. Pulling away. I can't wait for my next question. So the final thing we're going to do is talk about the away game.
Ooh, but...
What can't we do?
We can't talk about an away game.
Why is that? Because we ain't got a bloody away game. So we're going to have to talk about something else. What should we talk about instead? Ooh, I know we could talk about. What is happening right now, Dan?
Right now, in the footballs, in the qualifiers... Do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Northern Ireland are 1-0 up.
They're not. Who scored?
Republic Ireland aren't 1-0 up. And Scotland are the minus 1-0 up.
Oh, dear.
Well, losing. So if you had to pick whether Russell Martin, Graham Dorans or Stephen Whittaker went to the Euros, or where's Hooland and Robbie Brady went to the Euros, who would you pick, John?
I would like little Wes to go, because I think it'd be lovely for him to go and enjoy himself for once.
Yeah, give him a little pat on the head when he goes out.
A little holiday.
It genuinely would be great to see someone like Wes Hoolan playing at the Euros, I think.
It would be great, wouldn't it?
What's the first international tournament you remember?
Easy, absolutely easy. I can answer. I know exactly where I was. I was in Bradwell, near Great Yarmouth.
Where, sorry?
Bradwell.
All right.
I was at a place called Cherry Tree, which is a holiday thing. Yeah. My mum was working there, and I watched with my eyes. My first ever football thing was 1990, and the whole place erupted. I must have been 8 years old. Whole place erupted when David Platt scored the goal.
I
looked round at everyone just going fucking crazy with like beer flying everywhere and people on tables.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. That's what like really attached me to football.
Yeah, it was exactly the same for me, 1990, but then we're the same age, I suppose. I cried after we got knocked out by Germany on penalties. I cried. I didn't even really understand football at that age, but I still cried for some reason. I was only watching it with my parents, so it's not as if everyone was in floods of tears, but I was that upset. Tears ran for me.
Yeah,
and normally I'd only get upset for when someone nicked my Transformers at that age.
You cried when the Skype call just broke down a little while ago.
I did, yeah. Very emotional, man.
It was astonishing. I loved every second of just watching. It was like, it honestly feels like it was slow motion. People were jumping. And I said that I can remember this like shower of beer going across the massive screen. And I remember like that little thing when Gary Lineker falls over the big huddle of players and his eyes and his mouth is wide open. Remember it like it was yesterday. Then I had a Coke and played in the machines. Everyone was happy. So because we've got no podcast, I don't know if we're going to have a podcast, because we're going to match next week. We've kind of got no podcast to talk about, so we're going to have another break where you can...
Well, we might do one, you never know, looking ahead to the Newcastle game.
People don't want to talk to us talking about nothing, do they?
Well,
don't want to listen to it, let alone you.
Yeah, no.
We'll see.
Thank you to everyone who is listening so far, by the way. We've got far more listeners than we ever expected.
True.
Yeah, it's double figures, isn't it? Double figures.
Yeah, it's in the tens. I'm going to say it's in the tens.
Safely in the tens. Yeah.
Okay, then. So wish me luck on Sunday then, Dan.
Well, I'll see you on Sunday. Best of luck, though. Sure, it'll go great.
It will, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Singing two songs.
Packing the tomatoes to chuck at you.
Exactly. Someone else said that as well. That was you, your arsehole. It was you and someone.
I may have said it already.
Yeah. Twat. But I love you still.
And final call out, if people do want to come along, apparently there are still tickets.
Do it.
6 o'clock, 7:30 start at the Open in Bank Plain in Norwich. Lots of famous Norwich players reading bits out and John embarrassing himself on a guitar.
I won't be on guitar, I don't think.
Oh, are you just singing?
Maybe just singing and pointing at things. No. And also, the good thing is, people, I encourage people to go up and go, Dan, and you've got to go, Brigham.
Yeah, no, I might do that.
That'd be awesome. I'd love people to do that. Let me know if anyone does do it, okay?
We're still waffling.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you very much for... Wait. Wait. Dan's got to do his little party trick. This is...
Will happen, won't happen.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen and won't happen in the following week.
Will.
England rugby fans self-combust after realising they can't take the piss out of the England football team during the Euro qualifiers.
Won't.
The Upton Park Pigeon replaces Martin Keown as a pundit on Match of the Day. No one notices.
Won't.
In a desperate attempt for an international call-up, John Ruddy starts wearing kilts and quoting lines from Cracker at training sessions.
Will.
After the Wayne Rooney documentary was a snooze fest, Gary Lineker promises fireworks and revelations in his next project, Gone Fishing with Johnny Howson.
And there we go. That was the end of the podcast this week. We had Simon Thomas, we had piss, we had sexy fluid, and we had loads more. Thanks very much for listening, and goodbye, everyone. Bye. Bye.
I need a wee wee.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.